Okay. Call to order the May 3rd, 2011 session of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs. We are in order. Good afternoon, everyone. We are going to do first a work session on Senate Bill 338A. I'm going to open that work session. And Jill, could you remind us what that bill is?
Senate Bill 338A establishes a task force on tuition waivers for veterans at community colleges. It requires the task force of community college district presidents to address policy development and consistency in community college tuition waiver for children, spouses, and surviving spouses of deceased or disabled veterans. It directs the task force to submit a report to the Legislative Assembly before convening the 2012 Legislative Assembly. This has an emergency clause. It's effective on passage. It has no revenue impact. There is a fiscal statement issued with minimal fiscal impact.
Very good. And committee members, I know there have been some questions about the bill, and just a reminder, as Jill said, it is a task force, and it does talk about dependence of fallen and disabled soldiers. So I think those points.
And I think we need to adopt the A2 amendment.
And we have an
still.
A2 amendment. Okay,
right.
Very good.
Which clarifies
which,
that.
Which, in fact, is the substance of that. Okay. Representative Esquivel?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move to attach the amendment of A2 to Senate Bill 338.
Thanks. Thank you, Co-Chair Esquivel. Co-Chair Esquivel moves the A2 amendments to Senate Bill 338A. Discussion on the motion? Seeing and hearing none, is there any objection? Again, seeing and hearing none, adopted. Co-Chair Esquivel.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 338A as amended to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you very much. Co-Chair Esquivel moves Senate Bill 338A as amended with a -2 amendments to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussions on that motion? Yes, Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't think it's egregious to ask CCWD to, as the governing organization over the 17 community colleges, to come and make sure that everything is organized, although I do contend on the record that I think that the problem maybe wasn't quite as... I think most of the colleges were trying hard to do it. I think this will help gain some uniformity in it. And I just wanted to say I spoke to a number of community colleges that had worked on it and were really trying to do the right thing. I didn't talk to all 17, but I think the general intent was they were trying to make it work. Hopefully this will help organize and unify it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that clarification. And this is not intended to in any way be punitive or anything like that, but only to make sure that we try and have consistent policies across the board.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much for that clarification. Any further discussion? Seeing none, on the motion, is there any objection? Not seeing any. The motion passes. Let's see here. Who are we going to have for the carrier? Who would like to volunteer for this one? Representative Matthews?
I'd be happy to, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Representative Matthews will carry the bill. And with that, I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 338. Okay. We're going to stand at ease here for a short while.
$275.
They
wouldn't have come over with
a fiscal.
It's a
this for that remark.
You
won't let it go.
That was a joke. Here's my word. I want them down here.
to explain.
Most complex bill in the world. I'm going to say, right. Representative Matthews, but he'd really like to hear this bill.
I'm going to say, thank you, Chair Harvey. I mean,
we learned nothing this morning.
Maybe not so much.
Yeah.
And that threat is now on record since we have a blue light going. Oh, it is. Mr. Chair, thank you.
Set?
Yep.
Everybody ready? Back on the record. Going to open a work session on Senate Bill 275. If you would, please.
Senate Bill 275 requires, actually I have an old one, requires the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development in consultation with the Department of Veterans Affairs to develop standards for community colleges to implement a process to give credit for education and training obtained by a person while serving in the United States Armed Forces, and to develop methods for informing qualified individuals about potential credit for education and training. We have a dash one amendment, and there is a fiscal impact on this.
Thank you very much. The committee has had questions about the fiscal that we received. It's in the order of $133,000. And we have someone here who's going to help us better understand how we got to such a large number. Please.
Co-chair with members of the committee. The fiscal
would
is...
Would you please introduce yourself?
John Turpin, Legislative Fiscal Office.
Thank you.
The fiscal impact with the $133,000 that you're referring to is with the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. What the dash one amendment is doing is that instead of community colleges doing the credits for military training, this is putting the work with CCWD to develop those standards. And CCWD reports that this isn't a function that they normally do with the 17 individual community colleges. So to undertake this work, they would need the limited duration halftime position. Their plan is to implement some work groups among the different community colleges, use the American Council on Education guidelines to help them with a crosswalk between what military training offers and what community college programs currently offer, and try and align those standards so that they can provide the credit.
Thank you very much. Questions from the committee members? Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. John, did it come up the length of time that it was anticipated that the rulemaking process would take, and how long this half FTE would be working on the project?
Just the current biennium, the 11-13 biennium. It'd be a limited duration position, go away after that, 24 months.
Okay. Follow-up?
Please.
Or number two. I assume that CCWD was at the table discussing what the department needs would be in this, or was this strictly an LFO analysis?
No, Chair Witt, Representative Huffman. Our process is we get the request for a fiscal from committee services, and then we will contact the affected agencies after our analysis of the amendment or the original bill, whatever it may be. So we contact them as the program expertise people. We don't know about every individual program. So they provide us with the information on what they think the fiscal impact will be, and then we do analysis of what they say, what the bill says, have follow-up questions. Then the budget analyst for that particular affected agency will also review it to make sure that aligns with what the department says is what we think the bill is doing, and that's where we kind of align those points, and that's what CCWD is saying. We would need this kind of limited duration halftime position to accomplish this work. It's not something we currently have budgeted for, and not position we currently have that already exists to do this work. Does that answer your question?
Just a comment, Mr. Chair.
Please.
It was our understanding, or my understanding, from testimony the other day that, and I can't remember what it stands for, but ACE, the kind of accreditation entity that reviews military training and classes, and applies a credit hour mm-hmm. to it, I was under the impression that a lot of the work was already done, and it would be more of an adoption and some review. I didn't think it would take a full biennium. That was my impression, and I'm concerned that even for halftime to take a full biennium to take somebody else's work and overlay it onto a current system, I'm having a hard time with the fiscal.
Representative Huffman, I think you've expressed my sentiments, and it was my understanding that we were going to be adopting some work that had already been laid out by ACE, and that we were not plowing new ground here. So I still remain curious and skeptical at this point. Representative Parrish.
Yeah, I guess I'm scratching my head the same thing, because when we were stationed at Fort Benning, I went to Georgia Military College, and this is a college that is specifically designed, and you actually take classes on campus, designed to help soldiers and service members who are in that area take coursework, and they do for people who are soldiers, take in that skill, and they box it up, and they give you some credit for it, and they put it out on your transcript, and it carries with you wherever you're going. There's a mechanism out there that already exists, and that this would take us 2 years of a half-time employee for $100,000+ when other colleges across the country are already doing this. There has to be something in my mind that we can just pick up, lift, and find a way to apply to those same types of classes. I do not agree with the fiscal on this at all, when there's already places and people out there who are doing this kind of work and accepting coursework from, and that's not your fault, but it's just I struggle to believe that when I've attended a college on a military campus, and I know that they do that for soldiers, and it's not rocket science.
Additional questions or comments? Yes, Representative Matthews, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to say thanks for coming down. Mm-hmm. I certainly don't want to, you know, sit here and execute the messenger here at this point. You have a tough job to do. You know, you're trying to sort through what it is and what it's going to take, and I get where the fiscal comes from. I think what's tough is it does say in the -1 consultation, which would mean that they're working with the efforts of the community college already, and I think that's where I think the problem of the committee comes from, is we have some knowledge that there's some past work being conducted, and there's some already test cases. I think Clackamas County is one, and some or Clackamas community is one, and others out there. So I do think that fiscal could be somewhat overstated. I don't know how we would correct that, though, Mr. Chair, and how we can go back and redirect that. I don't even know. You know, I guess the question for you would be, if we were to produce kind of a documentation of what we understand or believe to be already being conducted, would that change the opinions of LFO?
Representative Matthews, I think having the committee talk with community colleges and workforce development on what the expectations are, what's already out there, as you said, versus what you're looking for them to build upon, I think those conversations would help with the fiscal impact.
Yeah, follow, Mr. Chair?
Yes, please.
And I think that as we've talked about this bill, and this, it's been a discussion of a lot of folks for many years, but as we're getting close to this point of a bill that we'd actually move, I really caution having a fiscal this high that might not even get to a point where we're able to see it again. Even though we have an ability, as we've discussed, Representative Huffman, myself, several others, including co-chair Esquivel, who's a great dear friend of mine, for the record, Chair Esquivel. But there's an ability, perhaps, for the community colleges to even have these credits transferred at a fee to the veteran, that would be, you know, reduced from what it would cost to have somebody actually seated in the classroom. But we need to look at all that. And I guess for me, Mr. Chair, I was prepared to move this bill, but with this fiscal, I'm hesitant to do so in its current form, because I think that we're just basically setting it up to go nowhere, and And I don't really want to be pulling on a rope attached to nothing at this point.
Well, thank you. I think you make a very good point. And I think also that, as you pointed out, if we afford LFO an opportunity to align our expectations with what it is that they're trying to describe with a fiscal, may make a lot of sense. I have Representative Parrish up next with Representative Huffman on deck.
I guess I'd also like to, you know, maybe I'm putting ODVA on the hook here a little bit, but we have students who go to school all over the place, all over this, you know, all over the country, and when even when we're in Iraq, we've got kids who are, you know, soldiers who are taking classes. I have to imagine that ODVA has some resources with the National Guard, because they deal with soldiers who are in this scenario all the time, that they have resources for model language that's happening in some of these other. University of Maryland has got a program for veterans. Again, like I said, I went to Georgia Military. There's a whole bunch of schools and colleges out there that I cannot, for the life of me, understand how this can't be absorbed into somebody's day based on model language, and that we need a whole other staff person to get this done. So I would hope that when we send this back, that it's not just the community colleges who have language and some oversight into that process, that we work with ODVA to get to that model language of what's being accepted in other situations across the country, because they know where to find that stuff, I think.
Thank you, Representative Parrish. Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I agree. I would like to have this sent back and ask CCWD to further work with LFO to try to figure out what the real number should be. My fear is that if we do anything with this kind of a fiscal, my goal had always been, as Representative Matthews said, for this to not only be another tool in the toolbox for veterans to gain an AA degree, but based on experience that they've already had in the military, but to also use it as a revenue source, albeit maybe not a huge revenue source, but a revenue source for CCWD. And my thinking was, and of course CCWD would have to adopt the policy, but, you know, as a veteran that had extensive military police training and other training in the military, I would have been perfectly fine, and I mentioned this to CCWD, that I'd be perfectly fine at paying maybe a third of what the normal seat time rate was, which, if it's, you know, for the next school year, going to be $75 per credit hour, $25 a credit hour would seem very reasonable, because as a veteran, I'd be receiving a benefit. But it would also not be asking the community colleges to do something free, as too often we do. And so I'm not sure that with a large fiscal I would even have the opportunity to explain to the co-chairs that my intent of this bill is to actually be a revenue source for community colleges. I think it would just be shot down before it ever arrived.
I think you make extraordinarily on-target points there, Representative Huffman. Co-Chair Esquivel.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would think that we would, you know, if this material is established, it's maybe even a matter of just getting online.
Yes.
I think it'd be like a cafeteria style for the state of Oregon to incorporate that and just pull it out and don't reinvent the wheel, since it's already been invented. But I couldn't understand why it'd take more than a couple months to do that. But maybe I'm wrong, or maybe I'm naive. But I would suggest that we get in touch with Director Priest and get you someone that fully understands what we're talking about, and then also you'd have a point person to communicate between yourself and community college workforce development.
Thank you, Co-Chair Esquivel, and it would be my intention to try and establish that line of communication next. Do we have anyone from CCWD who could assist us with, we're going to try and establish a line of communication here to put some things together prior to our next hearing.
Your Chair,
please,
I think,
come forward.
I think Carissa could, we've had conversations about this, so hopefully she can respond.
Thank you for coming forward very much.
Yeah.
Representative Witt, members of the committee. Do I have this close enough?
Yeah.
There's a couple things I'd like to clarify first.
Could you please introduce yourself?
My name is Krista Caldwell. I'm the Deputy Commissioner at Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. I see a mixture of conversation here. When it's credits in a college, as Representative Parrish was mentioning, there's a process in place to transfer the credits. This bill is referring to the learning that's happening, learning that's been achieved in the military, so it's training that's not necessarily transcripted and usually isn't.
And that's, as I explained, that's actually what I was testifying to. Sorry.
But we do have Community Colleges of the Air Force has credits. Those are transcripted and they come in like any other credits. The difference is some of the is looking at what the equivalent of learning is and comparing that to a course, to a program. And it may not fulfill the entire requirements of the course. And so that's a comparison that's being made. And it's part of the work in this is with the culture in a community college of what they're accepting as credits from somewhere else. And that's why the ACE catalog helps, to look at the equivalents and use it as a guide. But you still have to have agreement on campus, and that's where a lot of the work is. The work that happened at Clackamas didn't take very long when everybody understood what the rigor is that everybody goes through with the ACE catalog. But there is work on every campus to adopt the policy to use the guidelines. And then there's the work of the training of the staff, especially in the smaller community colleges that have not done this or may not have somebody or they don't do it very often. We need to make sure that it is standard across the whole state.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I just have a comment that I feel compelled to make here. And John and Krista, I understand that neither one of you were prepared to be before us today testifying, nor probably envisioning having to justify something that has frankly flabbergasted this committee. But I just have to tell you that... First, I apologize for calling either or both of you on the spot here. And with that, just have to say that the system by which we're receiving fiscal analyses is not working. Just-in-time fiscal analysis does not work. And I don't hold either one of you accountable for that. But I'm telling you that you've paralyzed the way the system is working has paralyzed this committee's work today. And LFO needs to find a new and better way to address this. And it's not just this committee, it's across the board. And when we get a fiscal analysis 5 minutes before we have a hearing, and then we have to sit here and wait as a committee for another 15 minutes while we try and figure out how we're going to react to something that is above and beyond reality, and $133,000 for this fiscal analysis is out to lunch. I'm sorry. I'm calling it as I see it, and I think I have the rest of my committee here behind me at this point. So I'm venting here, but this system, folks, does not work just in time. Representative Parrish.
Respond to that. How do we override the fiscal of the committee? I mean, we know that there is, should not be this crazy fiscal impact because we've either lived it or breathed it. And to, ma'am, to your point, I was addressing the fact that a Georgia Military College and University of Maryland and some of these other colleges across the country take that a soldier is a logistics officer, look at what that job description is, they look at what how much time that they've served in that job, and they bundle that up, and then they come out and say, that's worth 3 credits of this and 2 credits of this. So this is not just directly credit transfer. It is actually the evaluatory process of taking what a soldier has done, carving out what they think it's worth, and coming back and saying, your 8 years in the service is worth 24 credits, and here's how that is. They do it. So there is model language out there across the country in other universities, and I will gladly help us dig and find this because I still maintain this should not be something that is a half-time employee and should be able to be absorbed into somebody's day. And I'll just be honest. When people tell me they don't have enough hours in the day, I have 3 kids, I'm seated in this committee, and I run my own company, and I still manage to get it all done. So this is something that should be able to be absorbed into the day and use the model language that's there. This should not be this hard. And I know that's not your fault, and you didn't come up with the fiscal, but I think you're right. At some point, this shaking the magic eight ball and coming up with a number is ridiculous.
So you have we've all vented. We've gotten past that.
Not your fault.
And Krista, the reason that I asked you up here is if you could assist this committee in establishing a line of communication with John. And I am asking on behalf of this committee that we have a new fiscal analysis that is brought to this committee next time. Is it realistic to think that we can do this in a week's time? I'm seeing nods in the affirmative. Try and align credit that will be offered for knowledge that has been gained through our military services and which has been analyzed by ACE, and see if we can adopt that. If it would be helpful for either or both of you to check with other states that may have done similar things, because I may be entirely wrong here, but I would find it difficult to believe that other states haven't been there before us, to see what they have done and if there's anything that we can crib from them to save additional costs. If that would take additional time, I think the co-chairs would be open to you taking that time to do that. But we need to get this assessment down, and we need to get it in line with what is fiscally responsible given some very hard economic times in the state, and I'm asking both of you for your help to make that possible. Additional comments?
I just wanted to put a pitch in for the University of Maryland, since I went there and I transferred my credits to an Oregon college, and it's amazing.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Coach. Representative Matthews.
I guess I just want to bring this back around and just say and thank you both for being here and being put on the spot and bringing your testimony forward. And I want to just let you know I'm somebody that realizes that it's tough for me to know what your department can and can't do and what can and can't be handled and what you can absorb and what you can't absorb. I don't want somebody telling me how I'm going to conduct a business under my roof. And so, you know, we're in a spot where I honestly feel like if we don't find ways to work together, then nothing's going to get done in this particular arena. And so I want you to know that I look forward to working with you to try to find solutions towards a way to make this work. I don't believe at all that you don't have a desire to make this work. I know that, that you want to make it work too. And so thanks to both of you, and you were put in a real tough spot coming down here.
Absolutely.
As well. And thanks for your time today. And as I told Representative Huffman, we're the good guys in this committee. The Veterans Committee, we do a lot of great work out of this building and out of this dais and off the dais, and it's because we're working with a lot of partnerships out there that have veterans placed first. So thanks for your time today, and look forward to trying to find a solution on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And John and Chris, either one, if you need a point person on the committee, if I can, you got access to me, whatever you need, if I can track other people down and help get answers for you too,
thank
I'm
you.
There for you, and I appreciate all your work.
Additional questions or comments? Again, taking Representative Matthews' lead, we are most appreciative of both of you being here today and recognize fully that we have, you came here with virtually no advance notice at all. We appreciate you putting this together for us, assisting this committee, and thank you very much, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
With that, I am going to... What's the motion? Hold over the hearing?
Carry
over.
Right? Hold.
Carry over the hearing.
Date certain, what should be a week from today?
On Senate Bill 275 to the committee's next meeting. With that, I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 275. Anything to come before the committee today? Good of the order? Seeing none? Thank you, everyone, and with that, we stand adjourned.